Greeny, and you're listening to The Grilling Truth.
Welcome to the Grueling Truths Football Legends Show, brought to you by Gridiron Mo, an interactive football app where you get to call what you think the offense or defense should do during a live NFL game and see what all other fans have called also. Check out Gridiron Mo at www.gridironmo.com. I'm your host for the Legends Show, Mike Goodpaster. I want to welcome in my co-host, Matt Andrew Scavage.
Thanks very much, Mike. Very excited about the show tonight.
Yeah, well, we had to call it a football legend show because, I mean, we've got a USFL legend show and an NFL legend show, and I think this man applies for both.
I would agree.
Was a legend in the NFL with the USFL with the Michigan Panthers and the Oakland Invaders, and then with the Minnesota Vikings, 1987. Probably had the greatest postseason any wide receivers ever had. Help me welcome to the Grueling Truth, Anthony Carter. How you doing, Anthony?
Good, and yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great. Let's just start from the beginning. What age did you start playing football? Who were some of your early influences?
Oh, back in 1972, I think the first time I ever played organized ball with the Wales Packers. You know, big Miami Dolphin fan, you know, back then. Of course, they won, you know, Super Bowl 17 and 18. So everybody down in South Florida was a big Dolphin fan back then.
All right, Matt.
Tell me a little bit about your high school career and what led you to choose Michigan.
We have some pretty good teams. Basically, you know, born and raised in Florida, never been out of the state of Florida. I originally signed with Florida State and unfortunately changed my mind at the last minute and just wanted to get away. And, you know, Michigan with the great helmets and just, you know, going to the Rose Bowl and an opportunity to play in the Rose Bowl.
All right, now your freshman year, 1979, I think I saw a stat where you had 17 receptions, 7 for touchdowns. I think the game that stands out for every Michigan fan, and I'm from Indiana, so I'm an Indiana fan, so you know where I'm going with this.
Right.
The 1979 Michigan-Indiana game, you want to tell the listeners a little bit about that game?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the score was tied 21-21 with 6 seconds to go, and I was platooning, bringing in and out of the plays, and unfortunately, I happened to bring in the last play for, you know, John Wangler. And when I you know, gave him the play, I told him to throw the ball to me. So it didn't matter who he was going to, you know, throw it to or whoever the play was going to, throw it to me. So unfortunately, he was a good listener. He threw it to me, and we ended up scoring the winning touchdown.
What's amazing about that play was, you know, you guys are – at midfield, basically, and you catch it, and there's two defenders coming in as time was winding down, and you're able to get past those defenders and score.
Yeah, I definitely should have been tackled. There's no question about it, but unfortunately, somehow I slipped through. God was on my side, and like I said, we ended up winning. But I think if it wasn't for L.P. Reed, you know, right before that play, you know, caught the ball over the middle, and then he ended up throwing it out of bounds, and Lee Corso ended up catching the ball, and they ended up, you know, putting 2 seconds of – you know, 6 seconds back on the clock. So that if it weren't for that play, I don't think my play would have happened.
Now, and when you're at Michigan, obviously the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry is still a big one. But back when you're in college, tell us a little bit about what that rivalry was like.
You know, like I said, growing up in Florida, I had no idea how the rivalry was between Ohio State and Michigan and until I got to Michigan and, you know, we preparing my first game against Northwestern, and all of a sudden, you know, coach called us in and, you know, start drawing up plays and start running scout team for Ohio State. And I'm like, you know, hey, we don't play these guys to, you know, week 11. Why are we talking about Ohio State? Why are we getting prepared for Ohio State? But that's just the way it went all 4 years. You prepare for that particular game, no matter what your upcoming game was, we always prepared for, you know, the last game of the season against Ohio State.
All right, now you played for Bo Schembechler, legendary coach. What was your relationship with him like, and how was he to play for as a player?
Yeah, he was a great coach, but one coach you didn't want to get in his doghouse. I've seen plenty of guys get in there, and unfortunately I was not one of those guys. So, but, you know, we had a pretty good relationship. He had a good relationship with all his players. He cared about all his players. So, like I said, if I had to do it all over again, you know, I would choose the University of Michigan as well, again.
Now, 1983. You were drafted by the Dolphins, who, you know, you're talking about, you know, growing up liking the Dolphins. But what led you to pick the USFL over the NFL?
Not having the opportunity to still stay in the state of Michigan and play in front of the Michigan fans, I thought it was a great opportunity. Opportunity that I couldn't pass up. A lot of other guys, Herschel Walker, Jim Kelly, you know, you know, those guys start signing with the league as well. So you just wanted to, you know, and as far as the salaries, they weren't having top salaries back then in the NFL as well. And USFL was, you know, was throwing out the money. And then we start having players come over from the NFL to the USFL. So, like I said, just basically had the opportunity to stay in the state of Michigan and play in front of the Michigan fans.
All right, you get the Michigan Panthers, not just an expansion team, it's a startup league. What was your first training camp? I believe that was in Daytona Beach with the Michigan Panthers like.
Unfortunately, I missed that.
Oh, you missed it.
I missed that. I caught him when they came back to Pontiac. I caught him when they came back to Pontiac. Yeah, I missed it. I was still hadn't signed yet.
Oh, well, I guess you can do that when you're the number one pick, though, huh?
No one wants to go to training camp anyway, so I missed it.
Well, in 1983, the Panthers started out with like a 1-4 start, but you guys finished 12-6. What led to the turnaround?
I guess guys started getting familiar with one another. You know, everybody came from different universities, different, you know, teams and whatnot. And, you know, we decided, you know, I guess John Cork and the defense of those guys, you know, got their act together. Bobby got the offense together, and, you know, we made a hell of a run. And like John Cork could say, we was 1-4 no more, and we won the championship. I'll never forget that quote in the locker room that he said, you know, after the game in Denver.
Yeah, you talked about the 1983 championship game. You guys won a great game. I think it was 24-22 over the Stars, who won the next two championships. You got the game-winning pass. I think it was like 48, 49 yards. What was that experience like in that game? I know Mile High Stadium, I think there was like 50,000 people there.
Right, it was a great experience. Unfortunately, you know, it was an audible play, and you know, good thing I picked up the audible coming from Bobby, and got a, you know, picked up a nice block from Derek at the end there, and you know, ended up scoring the winning touchdown, which was great for the city, great for the state of Michigan.
Your coach for the Panthers was Jim Stanley. What was it like to play for Coach Stanley?
No, he was a different kind of coach, laid back, but, you know, once he spoke, you know, players listened, and he didn't have to say a whole lot, didn't scream a lot, but, you know, and a lot of guys that we did have on the team came from Oklahoma State, and they, you know, kind of prepared us for what kind of coach he was and whatnot, and like I say, once he spoke, you know, players listened.
All right, now, 1984, after you guys won the championship halfway through the season, you get injured, miss the rest of the year. You come back in 1985, and the Panthers had merged with the Oakland Invaders. You guys ended up playing in Oakland. I mean, what were your feelings on that, being a guy that wanted to be in Michigan?
Yeah, I thought it was something that I couldn't believe that happened. You know, and we was averaging 65,000, you know, in the Silver Dome. You know, why would we have to leave to go to Oakland? But, you know, you end up putting those two teams together. We had some outstanding players, you know, from both teams. They end up, you know, meeting together, you know, and we was in the last championship game against the Stars, which we end up losing that game. But it was a tough pill to swallow because, like I said, I did sign with Michigan and stay in the state of Michigan and play in front of the Michigan fans.
Now, even though the USFL only lasted for three seasons, it definitely left a lasting impression upon football fans. Talk about a little bit about some of the great players that you played with in the USFL, guys like Derek Holloway, Bobby Hebert, John Corker, some of those guys.
Yeah, we had guys that I thought could have definitely played in the NFL as well. And, you know, Bobby and myself, we ended up playing. But, you know, Derek and, like you said, you mentioned John Corker, those guys could have definitely played. You'd be in the right system, right place at the right time. I think that's what it was all about. But like I said, I Ken Lacy, John Williams, you know, there's no doubt about it. Those guys could have played in the National Football League.
Yeah, so looking back at it, you passed up playing for your childhood team, the Dolphins, to go to where you were comfortable in Michigan. Are you glad now that you picked the USFL over the NFL still?
Well, yeah, I don't think I would have went in the 12th round anyway if I would have stayed and waited for the NFL. I think I would have went a little lower than that. But unfortunately, I was already signed with the Michigan Panthers, and the Dolphins drafted me in the 12th round anyway. And, you know, once that league folded, I got a call and said, how would you like to play for the Lions? I said, fine, I got a house here, no problem, blah, blah, blah. Next thing I know, the next day I'm traded to Minnesota Vikings. So, but it would have been great to, you know, play in, you know, in front of the home fans here in South Florida, but unfortunately it didn't happen.
Well, after you got to the Vikings, talk about what your relationship with Coach Burns was like.
Oh, Coach Burns was a Michigan grad. He was a great coach. He was the offensive coordinator through the four Super Bowls that the Vikings did not win, but he knew football. He knew how to get players open, knew how to put us in the right situation, and he was a great coach, not just an offensive coach, but a great head coach.
Yeah, and you get to 1987, you had the strike year. You guys went 8-7. A lot of that reason the record was like that was because of the so-called scab players. What do you remember about the strike year leading up to the playoffs?
Just everybody getting together, sticking together, you know, working out no matter what had happened. We didn't know what was going to happen. And I think if it was not for us guys sticking together, I don't think we would have went as far as we did once we got back to work and ended up losing to the Redskins 17-10. But like I said, you know, great chemistry, great group of guys that I played with there in Minnesota.
Well, you know, you mentioned the playoff run. Now, Mike knows. I know Mike's been waiting to say this. Mike,
yeah, because Matt is a huge
fan.
49ers fan, Anthony. And this was my favorite game to throw at him all the time.
Right. You know, a little bit about that playoff run. I remember the wild card game. I remember watching it. What was interesting about that game was Bobby Hebert was the quarterback of the Saints, and then you go on and have one of the greatest playoff games ever, especially by a wide receiver, against the 49ers and then the Redskins game. Tell us a little bit about your memories from that playoff run.
Well, we just, like I said, if it wasn't for us sticking together through the strike, I don't think we'd have had the team that we had. But we just ended up catching on fire, and, you know, unfortunately the Redskins put it out. But, you know, the Frisco game was a game that nobody gave us a chance after we, you know, I think we were like 42-13 or something like that against New Orleans, which we kind of blew them out. But coming into Frisco, nobody gave us a chance, and we just wanted to go out and prove that we was a good football team. We had a good, great defensive team and great special team, and offense caught on fire. And unfortunately, I didn't score a touchdown in that game, but everybody else did, you know. But it was a team effort, a team win.
Well, the thing about that game was, though, you made every big catch. Every time the Niners thought they were going to get a stop, you'd come up with like a 20, 25-yard catch. It was unbelievable. I mean, as a Niner fan, it was just one of those things where I couldn't even be mad because it was just such a great performance.
Well, don't worry, Anthony. He was mad.
That's okay.
He's still
yeah,
mad,
just was on fire. Just was in the zone. You know, you hear the basketball player talking about they was in the zone. You know, I just was in the zone that day.
Yeah, if you want to talk about this game for like 20 minutes, you can, too.
That's okay.
I know Mike's been waiting.
I think the thing people forget is when you went to New Orleans, you guys were huge underdogs, too, because New Orleans, I think, was 12-3 and had the second-best record in the league that year. You beat them. You blew them out. Then you go and you manhandle San Francisco, who was 13-2. So, I mean, I think it was one of the most impressive runs ever, and I think what you did in those playoffs, I think you still hold the record for all-purpose yards for
all-purpose
a playoff.
All-purpose yards, yeah.
Yeah, like 642 yards through three games, which is over 200 yards. I mean, you got to be proud of that, though.
Yeah, it's a record, but records are meant to be broken. Like the punt return, the 87-yard, that's being up broken, and then the 210 yards off the 9 reception, the 10 reception, that ended up being broken, too. But, yeah, I still got one left.
Matt?
Oh, it is me. Okay. Sorry about that.
See, he was so flustered talking about that 87-49er ass whooping you gave him that he can't even remember.
Yeah, I had to catch my bearings and figure out what was happening. you ended up having a
Bill Walsh in that game.
Exactly. Ended up having a couple more good seasons and everything, and the injuries probably weren't the best thing that probably part of your memories. But what are some of your other favorite memories from your time in the NFL?
Just having the opportunity to play in the National Football League, fulfill a childhood dream, and you know, unfortunately didn't get to the ultimate, didn't ever get win the ultimate. But you know, every player don't get there, and every player don't win there. But at my size, and no one gave me a chance, but. You know, I just thank the Lord for that opportunity.
Yeah, I think you were one of the most underrated wide receivers of all time. I kind of compare it to Terrell Davis. I haven't seen too many guys do it as well as you guys did. It's just the injury shortened it. Without that, I think you're a definite Hall of Famer by the time your career was done.
Yeah, if they could put some of my USFL stats with him, but I doubt if they'll do that. But that's okay.
Right.
No, they probably won't. But, I mean, when you talk about it, your career ends before you wanted it to. You had 3 or 4 years there where you had a hard time getting on the field. When you got done with the game, did that make it harder to transition into normal life?
You know what? I couldn't watch it, you know, games my first year, but other than that, I was over it, and I was had the opportunity to quit on my terms anyway. So, like I said, I was just happy to be able to play professional ball for 13 years.
So what occupies your time nowadays?
Well, actually, my youngest son has cerebral palsy, and dealing with his foundation and, you know, try to put on a lot of tournaments and whatnot and keep busy with that and spend a lot of time with him.
Matt, do you have a website for the foundation?
Yeah, my wife has one, but she got all that information, man, so
okay.
I'll have to call you back.
If you wanted to get that to us somehow, we would definitely be happy to post that and raise some awareness for you.
Yeah, and her email and all that. Yeah, I'll give you guys a call back. I appreciate it.
Yeah, just you got my home phone number. But Anthony, I mean, Matt, do you have any final questions?
Not really, just great admiration for your play. I remember watching you, not just the 49er game, but other games as well. And you were a lot of fun to watch. You're a great player, and we really appreciate you being on today.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks a lot, Anthony.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, guys, make sure you check us out on thegrillingtruth.net. You can check out the interview I did earlier today with Jim Scowl, 9.5 sacks during the 1988 Cincinnati Bengals season. I'm halfway to my goal of having the entire team on my show at one point.
Not bad.
Later tonight, we will have the Gridiron Mo Super Bowl trivia show, so you can check that out on thegrillingtruth.net when it's up. That'll be me and Matt facing off again with Varus Presidius from Gridiron Mo asking the questions. We will have a contestant on also. They never do very well, though, when they're playing against me and Matt. So make sure you check out everything. Make sure you check out all the CFL coverage, all the articles. Matt, any final words?
Just another player that I remember a big part of my childhood. My brother was more into the Vikings than I was, but, I always liked Anthony Carter, Chris Carter, you know, Herschel Walker. It was a good team, and just another guy that it's still amazing to hear his to talk to him. Just a great player that I remember from my childhood. Man, even though my team lost because of that amazing performance, still it's always great to talk to. Truly a legend.
All right. Also, I want to bring up the fact that if anybody's interested in writing for The Grueling Truth or maybe doing a show, if you have any experience with that, even if you don't, we will be more than happy to talk to you guys. So make sure you hit up our email at thegruelingtruth@gmail.com or hit us up on @gruelingtruth on Twitter. Make sure you follow us there. We also have a Facebook page you can check out. So I think we're done for tonight, so we'll be back with another Legend show next week. Don't have a guest yet, but we will.
That's right. Never know what will happen.
And hopefully we can get another 1987 Minnesota Viking that would like to talk more in depth about the beating they gave the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I know that'll make you happy.
Oh, yeah, it does. I love it, actually. But all right, guys, we're going to get out of here. Make sure you check us out on all of our shows through the week. Also, make sure you check out of Left Field with Graham McCown and Chris Fury. That'll be up either Friday night or Saturday morning. I think they do a great job on that. Also, we've got an interesting show with Joshua Newman, who will be starting The Greatest Show on Grass, which is going to be a weekly Los Angeles Rams show. And I believe this week you'll be able to listen to it on Friday. And former great Kenny Washington, one of the first African-American players in NFL history, his grandson will be on to discuss his father or to discuss his grandfather's career. You won't want to miss that. And also, former legendary Ram Eddie Metter will be on next week with Joshua Newman on The Greatest Show on Grass. So make sure you check that out also. So for Matt Andrew Scavage, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Is that Shakespeare?
Nope. It's Geico.
Yeah, that's Shakespeare from one of his unpublished works. Oh, it be not for awakening. Nay, giveth thou the berries. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
No, it's from Geico, because they help save people money.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Geico got it from Shakespeare.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.